Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my older brother is also a pastor, and he just took a call to a congregation in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. So 2 weeks from today, he's going to be installed in his new congregation, and he asked me to preach for his installation service. And the first thought in my mind was, he finally gets it. After all these years, he realizes he needs to listen to his younger brother. But of course, on that Sunday, it's not a time for me to share my own opinions, even though they've usually been a lot better than his have been. But it's not a time to share my own opinions. It's a day to share God's Word. And so what should I preach about? So you can imagine, if a new pastor starting in a church, it's a day filled with excitement and probably a lot of nervousness, kind of like you feel when you start a new job or move to a new place. Well, my brother's name is Timothy. And so I chose to preach on some verses from the book of 2 Timothy that you heard earlier today. It's just that as I studied those verses to preach for my brother's installation, I realized that those verses are exactly what I need to hear. And I bet they're what you need to hear too. So I want to share with you some of the things that I'm going to share with him. As the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, to this young pastor, he begins by giving thanks to God. He wrote, "I thank God, whom I serve as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. I've been reminded of your faith." And right there was the first thing that caught my attention. Paul gives thanks to God, but what does he give thanks to God for? It's not what you'd expect. He doesn't thank God for all of Timothy's talents. He doesn't thank God that Timothy's a pastor. What does he thank God for? He thanked God that Timothy believed in Jesus. Because that was the greatest thing of all. Now, as I think about my older brother, Tim, the greatest blessing that God's given him isn't that he's a pastor. It's not that he gets to go to a new congregation. The greatest blessing that God's given him is, by God's grace, he believes in Jesus. What a cool thing. Thank God. So I think about myself, though, I don't thank God very often for things like that. And so this last week in my prayers, I've been really trying to thank God for you. Not for your smashing good looks or for all the talents that you have. I've been thanking God that you have faith in Jesus. And that is just the greatest thing in the world. Faith is so great that Paul wanted Timothy to remember where his faith came from. And so he reminded him who planted faith in his heart. He said, I've been reminded of your faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. So who is it that planted faith in Timothy's heart? It was Mom and Grandma. And so to all of the moms and grandmas here, keep it up. Keep on encouraging your families in God's Word. I know that sometimes you feel powerless. Sometimes you feel like nobody's listening to anything that you're saying. But never stop encouraging your families in their faith in Jesus. And to anyone here who has children or grandchildren, I think if we sat down and thought about it, we would say that the very most important thing in our children's lives is for them to believe in Jesus. If that's the case, then really think to yourself, is faith in Jesus what we make the most important thing in our family's life? Because faith doesn't just come to people naturally. They need to be taught. We want to encourage our families in God's Word over and over and over again. But once somebody has faith in Jesus in their heart, they're still not done. Paul wrote to this pastor, he said, "Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." If you come to Pastor Heisey's ordination service this afternoon, and I really hope you do, you're going to see the laying on of hands. A bunch of other pastors are going to give Pastor Heisey a blessing from God's Word, and as they do that, they're going to put their hand on his head. The laying on of hands, it's something that goes all the way back to these verses that we're reading in the Bible. This is what Timothy had received. He had faith in Jesus in his heart. He'd received God's blessing through the laying on of hands. And yet, was Timothy done? No, Paul says to him, fan into flame the gift of God. I'm not a great outdoorsman, but I have started some fires. But like good fires, right? Fires like a campfire. And you know how to do it. Maybe everybody does it a little bit different way, but you take some newspaper and you crumple it up and you throw some little twigs on top and you lay it on fire. Then you put on some bigger sticks and then you put on the bigger logs and you keep on feeding the fire. What happens if you stop feeding the fire? It goes out. Right? It's not that complicated. This is why a fire is a great illustration for faith in Jesus. It's great that faith has been kindled in your heart, but God says, fan that gift into flame. Keep on feeding your faith. If you don't, it's going to go out. But if you do, your faith is going to keep on growing and growing and growing. Fan into flame the gift of God. God wants that to happen for you because he knows there's going to be some big challenges in your life. And one of the biggest ones for us is one that comes out in our lesson. Paul writes to Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Maybe you think, Timothy's a pastor. He said faith in God since he was a little child. How could Timothy be timid? And I'd say that's a silly question. How many people here are never, ever timid about anything? We all get timid. When I said that, I could really relate to this section from God's Word. This is one of the verses that I was thinking about. A spirit of timidity. Can you relate to that? Think of just this last Saturday here at church, we had one of our door hanger days, a day that we went out in the community to hang postcard invitations from our church on people's doors. Not very many people came to help. Made me wonder, is there a spirit of timidity within our congregation? And yet, even as I went out handing out these postcards with my two boys, for some reason in my mind I was hoping that nobody would be outside so I didn't have to talk to anybody. What a bad attitude. Right? A spirit of timidity. That's something I can relate to. I bet you know that feeling. It especially comes when there's a chance for you to talk about your faith or to share your faith in Jesus. You feel that worry start to rise in your stomach. And your heart begins to race faster, and it's like your mouth just doesn't work the way you want it to. Just remember that the devil loves timid Christians. But God did not give us a spirit of timidity. And so Paul encouraged Timothy over and over again, don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Makes me think of a line in an old hymn that we sing sometimes here at church. It goes like this, ashamed of Jesus, just as soon let midnight be ashamed of noon. Do you understand what that hymn is saying? Does midnight, this darkest night, have any right to be ashamed of noon when the glorious sun is blazing? Does it make any sense for us sinners to be ashamed of our amazing God? No way. And so I love this verse. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. As we grow in our faith in Jesus, God wants to take away that timidity, and he wants to give us three way better things. Power, and love, and self-discipline. It starts with power. There's a contemporary Christian song that you'd hear on Christian radio by Jeremy Camp that's called Same Power. And the refrain goes like this. It's the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. think about that. The same power that created our whole universe, the same power that walked on water and calmed the storms, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, lives in you. Is that really true? Of course it is. The moment that you believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit with the power of God came into your heart. Remember this, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power. But what do we sinful people often do with power? Have you ever heard that old saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely? You ever heard that? The idea that power in the hands of sinful human beings, it often doesn't end up well. And so God doesn't just give us power, He also gives us love. He places into a Christian's heart compassion and love for other people, the love that we see in Jesus for us. I bet you know people who have a lot of power, but don't have any love. That's not good. I bet you also know people who have a lot of love, but are too timid to ever show it. That's not good either. So as a Christian, God gives you the power of Jesus and His resurrection, along with the love of Jesus who died for us. Power and love, it's a great combination. And to those two things, God wants to add one more, and that's self-discipline. How many times don't you have good intentions that you never carry out? We always think about this about New Year's time, right? But it affects even our relationship with God. How many times haven't you said, I want to be in church more often? Or I want to read God's word more often, and yet it doesn't happen. As a Christian, God also wants to give you self-discipline. He wants you not just to know what's good and right, but to be able to do what's good and right. This is a verse that I would love to have you memorize. I think it's something that we Christians should have sticking in our minds. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. The next time that timidity or that fear starts to rise in your chest, remember, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Or maybe the next time that you're tempted not to care about that other person and all of his problems, remember, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Maybe the next time you realize that you're being lazy and not doing what you know is best for you and your family, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Can you say that verse with me? God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I want you to have that on your heart and mind as you live your life as a Christian. But just like being timid can be a challenge for us, there's another challenge that we face when we see all of God's blessings in our lives. It can be easy for us to get a big head. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to go back and forth between being timid and being proud, sometimes on the very same day? I have to confess that I've taken pride in the fact that I've been a pastor at a bigger church than my brother is. But not anymore. This new church has 1,500 members. So that means we need to gain like 800 members right now. Of course, this is silly, right? It's sinful, even. And yet, I bet you do that too. You find something that you can do better than somebody else, and then the pride starts to swell. And we can go from being timid to being proud, just like that. You ever wondered why? What does being timid and being proud have in common? Well, when you're timid, whom are you really thinking about most of all? Yourself. When you're proud, whom are you thinking about most of all? Yourself. One of the things I'm going to tell my brother on his installation Sunday is I'm going to remind him that the worst thing a pastor can do in his ministry, and it's a big temptation, but the worst thing a pastor can do is to make his ministry about him. And I don't think that's any different for you. The worst thing that a person can do is to make her life about her. And you know what's a sign that maybe you're doing that? It's feeling timid or feeling proud. And how often aren't those just our constant companions in life? So here's God's way to conquer those feelings. Our lesson from God's Word says that God saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. God saved us all by His grace. That means on the days or the moments when you're feeling timid, like you're a failure, like you're not worth anything at all, remind yourself, it's not about me. God saved me. My life doesn't depend on me or what I do. It's all by grace. And on those other days when you feel proud and you feel like you're better than everybody else, then remind yourself, it's not about me. God saved me. My life doesn't depend on me or anything that I do. It's all by God's grace. It's all God and it's all by grace. And God's Word today reminds us that God's grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Now, if you really think about that, that's pretty amazing. How long has God been loving you? Since before the beginning of time. That's just mind-boggling to us. But maybe think about it like this. If you've been blessed to have children, if you're a parent or a grandparent, think about how you prepared for those children long before they were ever born. I bet there were a lot of moms and dads, you dreamed of having kids even when you were a little boy or girl. And then when you and your spouse finally decided to have children, it maybe took months or even years to get pregnant. And then you had to wait 9 months for the child to be born. And then once the child's born, it takes years for that kid to realize what's going on in his life. And then suddenly he's a teenager and he says to his parents, "Why don't you love me?" And you want to say back, "What? I have loved you like since before the beginning of time. I prepared for you and I planned for you and I waited for you and I prayed for you and I've cared for you. I love you more than you can possibly imagine." You think if that's true for us and our children, think of how much greater that's true for God and us. He loves us more than we could possibly imagine. He has loved us since even before the beginning of time. But God's love for us isn't just something that's in our heads, in His head, I mean. God's Word said, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has been revealed to us in the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God didn't just love us in His head and heart. He came. And Jesus died on the cross to take away all of our sins, including our timidity and our pride. And then Jesus rose from the dead to destroy death and give us life and immortality. And when you think about what's different about being a Christian, what I always remember is a phrase in that hymn, "In Christ Alone," that we like to sing. It says, "No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me." Christian is able to live without guilt because they know their sins are forgiven. And a Christian is able to live without fear because they know that death is defeated. We don't have to live like there's no tomorrow, because there is. So I was helping Pastor Heise move in Wisconsin this past week. I heard about a Wells member in Wisconsin who died suddenly this last Saturday at the age of 60. He just went to work that day and fell over and died right there at his job. And it was a huge shock to his family, obviously, but as I was told about it, they got great comfort in what they found at his house. When they went to his house, they found that his meditations devotion book, the same ones that we give out at our church, his meditations book was opened to that day's meditation. It was what he read right before he went to work every day. And do you know what the title of the meditations devotion was last Saturday a week ago? The title was, Who's Next? And the whole devotion was about who's next for God to call home to be in heaven with Jesus. And that was the last thing on this man's mind as he went off to work. And you think, was God controlling things that day? Absolutely. He didn't have to fear death. His family doesn't have to fear death because that man is in heaven with Jesus. So Paul, at the end of our lesson, he could write, I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. I know whom I have believed, Paul says. This is what life ultimately all comes down to. Every single person believes in something. Every single person puts their faith and their life in someone or something's hands. And I hope you know God is faithful. Like the best bank in which you put your money and you forget about it, you can put your faith and your life in God's hands, and you can know he is going to guard your life until the day that you're next, until the day he takes you home to be in heaven. So what should I tell my brother on his installation day? I think more than anything else, I'm going to tell him to remember this phrase. I know whom I have believed. That is a phrase that you can base your whole life on. I know whom I have believed. When that fear and timidity begins to rise in your heart, I know whom I have believed. When the devil starts to torment you about sins that you know that Jesus has taken away, I know whom I have believed. When the whole world seems to stand up against you, I know whom I have believed. When sickness strikes or death comes, I know whom I have believed. Jesus Christ keeps his word. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline, because we know whom we have believed. Amen. Let's say a prayer. Dear Lord God, in your word, you convince us of this powerful truth that you are our God and your Son Jesus is our Savior. You know how in our life, even on a daily basis, we go back and forth between being timid and being proud, and both of them focus our lives on ourselves. Dear Lord God, we ask that you allow us to focus our lives on you, to remember whom we have believed. We ask that you take away that timidity and that you give us what you promised, power and love and self-discipline. In Jesus, our Savior's name, we pray. Amen.